Hello, and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, but you may know me better as LTG. It was a very exciting weekend in the National Women's Soccer League, but Monday brought some news that may have seemed surprising to some fans, with San Diego Waves head coach Casey Stoney being dismissed from the club after recently signing a contract extension for 2027 a few months ago. As you may know, my last episode was about the San Diego Wave and their ongoing struggles on the pitch. So if you want to listen to this episode after or before that episode, they kind of are like twin episodes or sister episodes, if that makes sense. They go together, where I talk about the Wave and the struggles on the pitch, whereas this episode will be more talking about them as a club as a whole. Over the first 2 years of the Wave's history, Casey Stoney has been at the helm and done a quite respectable job. Of course, the first season they lost to Portland in the playoffs, which is obviously a very respectable outcome considering they were an expansion team. Last year, they finished in first place, winning the Shield, but were unfortunately knocked out in the playoffs immediately in the first round that they played in, which was a disappointment to all fans. They did win, though, another piece of silverware after winning the Shield and by beating Gotham FC in the Challenge Cup final in 2024. I wanted to talk about these first for some context, because it's not like this team has been completely underperforming as a whole throughout the history. The reality is the Wave have been quite good. Many expansion teams are not that. They've won multiple trophies in their first 2 years, and they've built something. They looked very, very fun to watch, cohesive. Going into the season, we presumed that would continue to occur, with new players coming into the team, and they were building on that DNA that they already had. However, as we talked about last episode, it just did not work. And when they threw more money at the dash for supposedly the star forward that was going to fix their team, Maria Sanchez, the attack just got worse. So overall, I think that there's a lot of different ways of looking at this. You could look at it from the point of view of different sides of the looking historically and giving some leniency, and also looking at the cold hard facts of the lackluster offensive performance that this team has had all season. We talked a little bit about that last episode, so I'll start with the general landscape of the club's history. So overall, they built this team based on the woman herself, Alex Morgan. I don't think that that's any secret. I don't think that's debatable either. And people may say she's just there for the star name, just there for ticket sales. First season, that was not true. She scored more than a dozen goals in the regular season, winning the Golden Boot. So, yeah, she's really good. Even though she hasn't stayed at that level throughout the rest of her time with the Wave, she was that kind of keystone player that helped the team really find their level in that first season, where they still had some decent talents, but they've built more recently. I mean, they've added so many talented players to the side over the few years, which have all come under the helm of Casey Stoney, which is why it may seem a little bit odd. They've developed Sanchez, Barcenas, Maya Jones. They've developed Kimi Asensio, Caitlin Torpes, and those are some new additions. But also, if you look at players like Naomi Girma, who have really developed under her wing, Sierra Enge, Jaden Shaw, Amira Ali. There's so many talents. Kennedy Wesley. This team is not the problem. And I think that was almost the hard part for Stoney, is that the roster is not bad. It's stacked. This team should be competing for the title. And I think usually a team doesn't perform for a few reasons. It's on the coaching staff or the players. And I think the players definitely haven't been up to par this season. But when you look at that as a question, you ask, why is it that occurring? Is it because the players aren't talented enough? Or is it because their system that they're playing in is not benefiting them? And unfortunately for Stoney, it really appealed to be the latter answer, and I don't think that's wrong at all. I mean, if you look at their matches recently, they've played horrendous. It's been hard to watch. We have to be honest here, and giving up so many late points is not what you'd want to see. I think definitely for the taste of the GM mouth, newly hired Camia Ashton will not be happy, along with Jalalis, about how they gave up 3 points in that match against the Spirit, and they gave up a point in that match against Gotham FC while they couldn't run the back of the net on Saturday. And I think that was really the tipping point. We talked a lot about how Stoney's performance this season would have put her on the hot seat automatically, in my opinion. And at the end of the day, if it's not the player problem, I saw a lot of people talking about how that firing her right before the transfer window was naive and they should have at least given her a chance to improve the squad. Well, the reality is that the squad is already quite good and talented, and if they are not getting the best out of the team with the coach that is failing to successfully implement these new pieces, it makes sense that the Wave would like to see another option. I think there's definitely a lot of reasoning as to why she should have gotten fired, which is why I wanted to start a lot on the two different sides of the debate. And to summarize quickly for viewers, the side that she's staying is that she's had such successful results with the team in the past, and you presume that giving her more time to integrate these new pieces, well, perhaps adding more in the summer window, would allow this team to thrive. And I think that's a very valid point, but at the same time, she built this team and brought in a lot of new pieces in the offseason who are quite talented players, and she's failing to coach them into their system. Her system is failing to work at this team, and the reality is it's always going to be a harsh environment. The Wave have one of the best atmospheres, the best fans in the league. So when there's that much pressure on you as a club and you're elevated at that stage, there's always going to be that level of pressure that's added on that wouldn't be found elsewhere. And I think for the Waves side, who've done so well, it's almost worse to look at the Stoney perspective, to look at Stoney from the perspective of, wow, this team's dipping in performance, while this team is aging and they're still not getting good results. If you look at the side, a lot of the key pieces from day one are getting older. Alex Morgan, Emily Van Egmond, who is a key piece in that first season, is getting older. Abby Dahlkemper's getting older. Kaylin Sheridan's getting older. I'm not saying these team players are washed. They're all top quality players. But at the end of the day, the team has to adjust to the new generation, and they're bringing the personnel in to do so. But if they can't develop those players like she's done in the past with players like Shaw, then maybe it's not the right time for her to be at this team, and maybe she's not the right person to lead it. Besides just talking about the team as a whole, looking at the numbers, the Wave are not an impressive team to look at. They have only scored 12 goals in 14 games. They have only given up 13 goals in 14 games, which is a more positive statistic, but that's really due to the work of Naomi Girma and Kaylin Turner. The rest of the defense, in my opinion, has been astoundingly poor. Hannah Lundqvist has had some bright performances, but besides that, it's been pretty average, and players like Kristen McNabb and Abby Dahlkemper have not had the brightest season so far. So overall, the midfield has been non-existent. The goalkeeping and defense has been good, but it hasn't been great. Statistically, it's fine, but it's not looking great on the field. The midfield is non-existent. There's no creativity up front, and there's no goal scoring, and there's no output. So when you look at all these factors, I think it is pretty clear that the consensus, which was made by Jill Ellis, was, surprisingly, some may say, accurate, given the fact that they brought in a GM who is notorious for trading players away without consent. So the direction of the club, in a lot of ways, may have been rightfully so questioned and wondering, what is this team doing? And I think that this sacking was, in a lot of ways, inevitable. It's disappointing from Stoney's perspective, which we'll get into in a minute, because she recently extended her contract. She brought her family over to the United States. She got an offer to coach the best women's club in the world, in a lot of ways, at least in comparison to Barcelona and Lyon. It may struggle, but Chelsea Women is a reputable side, which in her home country, which she wasn't able to go to and rejected because of her current commitment to the Wave, and for the Wave to just dispatch her like that, it may seem unfair for Stoney's perspective, but at the end of the day, sports are unfair, life is unfair, and I don't mean to give a suck it up kind of talk, but at the end of the day, the Wave made the decision that would be best for them on the pitch. It's not early enough to see whether it broke out, which is why I think in a lot of ways it's hard to come to one consensus of whether this was the right move or not, because we don't know whether she would have turned around or whether I would have kept on going downhill. And at the end of the day, we're already halfway through the season now. She's been given a fair chance. She's been given 13 games. It's not like she has been given like 5 games. She isn't doing her job. And so at the end of the day, even if she's a good coach and she has a good reputation, which I still believe is standing, I don't know if she's the right person to continue at this moment in time. So I now want to talk a little bit about Stoney herself and what is next for her. A lot of fans might be wondering. Obviously, she is British, so if you look at the WSL offers on the table, there's 3 teams that aren't obviously as amazing as the Chelsea Women offer, but Aston Villa, Brighton, Hove Albion and Leicester City are all options on the table that she could pursue. I do think, rather, she would also look at some other options in the West Coast in the United States. There's a lot of teams in the West Coast this season who are really struggling. Her fellow Brit, who also declined the Chelsea offer and the U.S. Women's National Team offer, is Laura Harvey, might be on the hot seat with the Reigns' recent performances. Becky Tweed has done a not great job with Angel City. Albertine Montoya has done pretty badly with BFC. So when you look across the West Coast, and even Rob Gale isn't a permanent head coach there. So every other team on the West Coast, now including the San Diego Wave, is looking for coaching, or is at least in a point where the coach isn't stable. Like you would think of, for instance, Kansas City's coach, Orlando's coach, and Seb Hines and Vlatko Andonovski, along with, I would add in that even there, Adrian Gonzalez and Jonathan Grialdez at Washington, along with Juan Carlos Amoroso at Gotham FC. So those are just like my few little tidbits of thoughts on her. I think it'll be really interesting to see how this move is reacted to by the Wave. They still have a few games before the Olympic break, and I doubt that they'll use the next few games to make a decision. I think they're going to want to take a long look at this team and think about what is the right next step in this coaching process. At the end of the day, I presume that this team will uphold the reputation of being a worldwide brand and a worldwide club. And if that takes a worldwide surge to get that coach that will get these wins, they will do that. There's only two more regular season games until the long break, so they actually have plenty of time to make a move. Obviously, the Summer Cup, you know, they'll want to perform in that, but it's not, obviously, doesn't hold the most importance that the regular season does. But it's funny because they're also going to be in the Champions League, and along with Portland Thorns and Gotham FC. So it'll be very interesting to see how those three sides balance the toll that the midweek matches play, considering that they might be traveling to Costa Rica, Jamaica, Mexico, Canada for these matches. So these teams will have a big load traveling-wise on them. That is inevitable. And for the Wave, being able to get someone in there that can manage that is going to be important, especially if your leader isn't producing now, and considering you have not just this season to worry about, but also the Champions League, which is obviously not as big as the European Champions League, but it's a growing event. You know, it still has that name and brand, and the Wave will want trophies. They'll want to get back on that winning way, and they're going to need to do that. So thinking about that, obviously, they will need a coach. And so I figured we could talk about maybe a few candidates that would be interesting options for them to look at. A lot of time people wonder about how important club experience is for a coach coming in, because we talked a lot about this during the debate for the U.S. Women's National Team coach, is that should you have a coach that has prior national team experience? And a lot of the candidates in the pool listed and publicized did not have that resume on them. But there are a few options, I think, who maybe haven't done as much at club level, but I think would be perfect options for this side. And I really think the obvious one is Tony Gustafsson, the former Australian head coach. He still is their coach technically, but I think considering that he's worked so closely with Jill Ellis in the past as the U.S. Women's National Team assistant coach, and because he was previously had offers from Sweden, he's had a lot of traction from other countries around the world after the Matildas' amazing run at the World Cup. And considering that the team is, and the Matildas has, you know, found that stage, if they've gone through that 1999 stage like the U.S. team, and maybe, you know, he completed with his task there. So I would not be surprised if he pivots to club level and comes to the Wave to work on the project there. Considering also, it's funny, the Wave does have a current stock of Australian players in Emily Van Egmond and Caitlin Torpy. So it'd be interesting to see if that's an option that's presented on the table. On Renard, who's one of the coaches of the French national team, would also be an interesting option. I know that he's previously stated that he would like to return to the men's game after his tenure, but I do wonder if he would be intrigued at all by any offer from this side. And also, there are multiple European club coaches, such as Rita Guarino and Suzanne Baker, who have offers from unnamed NWSL side. So it'd be interesting to see if they get intrigued by those propositions and if the Wave are one of those teams indeed searching for them. And I think it is so interesting to see so many sides about coaches, and the coaching game in the women's game has a long way to go, if we have to be honest. There's a lot of mediocre coaches in the game that can definitely be an area to improve in certain ways. But overall, this is just kind of a surprising moment. If you wanted me to hear me talk more about the team in general, I talked about that last episode. So today was more about Casey and this announcement that took a lot of us by surprise. So yeah, this is like the sister episode, as I said earlier. So thank you for listening. Be sure to listen to the last episode that's kind of partnered with this, if that makes sense. This is like the part two that we didn't know was going to happen when we recorded this, because unfortunately Casey's firing kind of catapulted us back into the studio to talk about the wave. But again, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on Thursday when our next episode comes out. Peace out from your host, LDG. Bye. See you next time.